Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, Bishop.
Well, good evening.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to go ahead and host on up there and everything and come in.
Yeah, I was caught up with doing something right quick, and I wanted to finish that on the computer. My time caught me. So tonight... Tonight, one of the things I want to take a few minutes and deal with is because of some incidents that happened in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, I think, had to do with our last Wednesday at our prayer meeting. I called for an 8-day prayer with a 3-day fast, and then on the 8th day would be tomorrow, and we would sit and talk about what God has said to us. And it seems like, oh, you know what, broke loose. The devil was very busy this 8 days. Especially in terms of families.
Yes.
And I started thinking and reflecting, and then my family's prayer time is Saturday. We call it the Sabbath prayer, the seventh day. We don't call it Saturday. Most of us don't call it Saturday because that's a Greek goddess name anyway. But the thing is, I had to pray for unity, and it's very interesting. Before I could even get to unity, I had to go back and look at certain scriptures, and it was very eye-opening and informative. But let us pray. Almighty everlasting Creator, we come to you saying thank you. We give you thanks and praise for the opportunity to go out over the airways, for we are all over the earth, and it's amazing how your word is unfolding. And, you know, I used to read about or hear about the preaching sermons on the lad lunch and how Jesus took that and fed the multitude. And I'm amazed at how you taking $2, well, more than $2, Lord, but how you taking a couple of dollars and you are reaching people all over the earth through this medium. And I just thank you, and thank you, and I praise you. And I trust and pray that something is said that is enlightened to the hearers. And as we deal with current issues, current concerns, things that are affecting men on a daily basis. And we just thank you, and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. In the name of our Lord and Savior, amen.
Oh, yes, Lord.
And amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes, sir. The thing that really, really got to me is the tension that has been produced between male and female, and how the enemy is using that, and it's not a problem. The normal behavior, it's the normal way of men processing information, and it's the normal way that men react to that which they are confronted with. And whereas women are more nurturing, they want to be there and nurture you and care for you and all of that. Whereas we are not that way. We're not wired that way. We're wired to protect and to provide. And we bring, as we used to say, we bring the bacon home. Well, that's our role, our responsibility. But
yes,
it seems like now the enemy has gotten into that. And the enemy is trying to make people be what they are not and what they cannot be, because that's not the way that God made them, made us. And it's putting husband against wife. It's putting wives against children. It's putting children against parents. And all of this, it's family, nothing but family. And that's what is being, where the attack is coming from now. And one of the things that we men have to learn, that maybe we need to walk around the block and then come back. And because once we walk around the block and come back, things will calm down, that the wife or the girlfriend or whoever the female is, they have calmed down, and you'll calm down. So you then are able to begin to listen to each other. And that's the other issue that's out there. We men are not prone to listen. We are wired to do, not listen, but to do. And part of that has to do with the environment that we come out of. If we wind up listening too long, we're not going to get the opportunity to do, because that's the way the system is set up. And for us to be able to get from the system that which we need to take care of the family, we have developed that type of attitude in order for us to be able to survive and to carry out that which we are required to do. Now, whereas the woman is different, altogether different. She listens and she wants to be heard. A lot of times we couldn't care less whether we are heard, because we know that if we don't step up to the plate immediately and do what needs to be done, somebody else going to step up to the plate and do it.
Right.
And we're going to be left holding the bag. So we don't have to learn, we men have to learn how to start a temple whenever we move from one arena to the other. We move into the household. We don't have to learn that this is a slightly different way of doing things here as opposed to out there. Because this is where we can feel safe and we can feel comfortable at. And the other part of the causing the conflict now is Satan has gotten into this and started the woman competing with the man. And when that started happening, then man started reacting and treating her the same way he treat any other man. And that in itself creates a problem. And, you know, as I look over the years and the divisions that I've had, I saw that taking place. And when we look at the society, the one the society most of the time will allow the woman or the female to do things that it would not allow the man to do. And again, that's creating more tension or conflict. So what had happened in the past, the men have, they understood what was going on. So they had to organize themselves around that so that they would be able to do or get that which is needed as well. So, and a lot of times the society will want to say, or the boys on the corner that you hang out with, they want to say you henpecked. Well, if you look at them, they're just as henpecked as you are. Only
they
different
are.
The difference is nobody's seen them yet. It's
that's
just
right.
A matter of time before all of that's going to come out as well. And, you know, if we be real, we be real about what's happening and sit down and I won't say negotiate, but that's basically what we are doing. Sit down and negotiate or renegotiate relationships. It's all about a relationship. And because the wife understand or the girlfriend understand that society is not going to allow you to do a lot of things, and that's their way of, if you want to say protecting you, but it's not really protecting you, it is their way of saying, okay, we got this, don't worry, you just chill out. And it's not about anybody trying to be something that they are not. But now, during the 70s, when the feminist movement came along, that's whenever that threw a monkey wrench into this whole relationship, male-female relationship. And it put lots of tension there. And what I see now in some of these situations and circumstances, that's all like a carryover from that time, that period in our lives. And all you have to do is just look at TV and you see how it is still being carried over, only it is not as, it's not as, what's my term? It's not in your face the way it was in your face in the 60s and 70s. It is more passive now, but the same principle is there. So I hope that we will learn that we need to sit down with each other and have a conversation about relationship and come into an understanding of just what that means. And then whenever you and your spouse come into that understanding, then it's not a problem. And you would have defeated the enemy, because the enemy could no longer use what it has used in the past to create the
tension.
That's
right.
So
that's true.
That's one aspect that I see that's going on this week in families and in households and then between husband, wife, and the children, and relationships shifting, and how the children are, how they, the children themselves, are playing the parents one against the other. And it is it is amazing how, you know, we parents don't stop long enough to sit down and figure out what's going on. And we learn to start running and responding to that particular individual that is doing what they are doing, so that they can get, whether you want to try to get attention or what. And the other part that I got from my journey this week is there's going to be tension. There's going to be conflict. Because Jesus didn't say, Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace, but the sword. And we who are spiritual leaders, and then I know in the denomination that I was in, they would say, oh, just love them, just love them. But that's going against the principles, going against what Jesus said. Jesus made it clear. And what he was saying was simple, is that those who believe in me and follow my teaching are going to be in conflict with those who don't believe, who are following the teaching of the world.
That's true.
And when that conflict takes place, we shouldn't be really surprised at it. And
That's right.
We shouldn't be jumping up and down trying to beat up on them either. And then the other scripture came to me and had to deal with cast not your pearls in front of swine. And again, if you're dealing with somebody and you're trying to make somebody do something that they are not ready to accept the change and to accept the teaching and to do it that way, you're wasting your time and your energy. And I see that too. And whenever you just back away, plant it, just like the parable of the fig tree. Well, that was one of the fig trees. He was cursed and it withered and died. There was another fig tree that the vineyard said, give me a little time to work with it. And that's what we need to do, is a little time to work with it now. And when you think about it, he didn't beat up on that fig tree. He didn't pull it up out of the ground. He didn't say anything, the vineyard didn't say anything evil to that fig tree. It gave it the nurturing that it needed so that it, too, would produce fig. So all of this stuff has been coming, and we have to accept it. And the last thing it had to do with the nation. And the nation is the people, not no building, not no institution. The nation is the people. And I understood the red state, the blue state. I understood the evangelical Christians and the one who just called himself Christian, who running behind a man who has lied, a man who is immoral. And, you know, whenever I apply the words that Jesus said, I understood what it is. And I'm no longer trying to bring unity to something that's not ready. And, you know, you reach out to them, but you have to deal with it for what it is, what it says. And it's fruit. And this whole mess that the Republicans are going through now, and I'm not saying one is better than the other one, but what I am saying is the fruits of that one, they just blatant lie. They just blatant put it in your face. And it tell you that this is what you're going to believe because this is what we say it is. And what I don't understand is how we literally allow the Republican Party every two to four years, anytime there's an election, they play the crime card on us. They play the crime card and saying that how bad crime it is. And I remember the Willie Horton video that George Bush Sr., the old man, I think it was him that pulled that out. And that helped him to win the White House. Well, that's what they're doing now. So the question is, what role does we who are Christians play? And then I'll go right back to what Jesus said. And so now we have to weigh that. And we are not to follow after any and everybody because that's not what God, if it doesn't line up with God's word, then we must rebuke it. And that's basically what I learned, what was revealed to me these 7 days that during the prayer and the prayer and fasting, because today is the seventh day. And tomorrow is the new beginning. And
right.
The other thing that I learned today, was revealed to me today, is the new normal. That's not biblical. God says he's doing an old thing a new way. Do you not perceive it? He said new way, not new normal. New normal means you're trying to go back to something that you where you were before and you making it the normal. Whereas if we say the new way, then what we need to be about is looking to see what is the new way that God is talking about. So it has been a very fruitful 7 days. Oh, and the attack was really, really hard, really harsh. And it's just awesome whenever you really rely on the word. Attack's gonna come, the enemy is coming, but what did Jesus say? Again, we go right back to the word. Jesus said he came and we may have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
And he also said what? He destroyed the works of the devil. So if he destroyed the works of the devil, so then the devil has no power. He can't do anything. However, when you look at it, you see what? There were fallen angels that fell out of heaven with him. And those are the evil spirits. And there it appears as if they are the ones that he is using to carry out his mission. Because whenever you sit there and you meditate and you reflect, and all of a sudden something runs through your mind that you know you didn't think of that. So my thing is that I learned is that with God, you know what's in my heart, and you know that's not part of it. And I just keep it moving from there. But it is the time that we're living in now, we we're going to have to be a little bit more proactive because things are moving so fast that if we don't stay one step ahead of what's happening in the world, we're going to be consumed by it. And then we're going to be crying out to God whenever God gave us the knowledge and wisdom to be able to read the signs. And as a result of that, we should be able to form our prayer times around that which the enemy has, on the drawing board that he's preparing to spring on us.
Well, Bishop, I tell you, you know, all of that that you hit,
I've experienced here in the last month. So something like that as far as family and things like that, you know, like you said, the enemy working in situations in life, and I had to go through some things and, you know, continue to meditate on, you know, the Lord's word and everything with the situation that we was going through with, you know, been a help to the son-in-law and where he got her to move him in and, you know, kind of set a boundary. And the boundary was, you know, for 3 months, you know, we went through helping, doing, talking, only the talking. I tried to encourage him on the change that he talked about, how the enemy was hitting him, and he wanted to get away from some things in life. And as I talked to him, and everything that was sounding good, once he got away, was the same old mess that he went back to. And I told the wife, if he's not sincere on wanting to make that change, it'll never happen. I said,
that's
once
right.
You want someone to give you encouragement, do something in life, and you want to change to help self, whatever a person gives you, and it's, you know, give scriptures from out of the Bible, give to them, and some encouraging words that was good and everything, as we as a family, me, mom, and him, sat down and talked about and everything and tried to make her understand that we're going through a situation that sometimes you have to let them step out on their own and stop babying or doing these certain things in a way that we was. Into it months. No charge, no nothing. And then after that, it worked every day in between that time, we put a price down. And for every month. Well, we're going on 7 months now. And, you know, in between that time, I got ill, I got upset, I got mad. And, you know, I never said anything negative out of the way. I just had to make my point known that, you know, the right and the wrong of things. And I had to go to my wife and tell her I was sorry and repent because of the way that I was treating her, because I felt like she was a bigger part of the baby and the easy role of things. And instead of letting me say and step up and do what I need to do. And I had to fight through that. I had to pray through it. I come to a point I've had to leave, come to a point that it was very serious and hard on me to, as a man, you know, when another man and you're trying to help, you don't take the use of a man taking advantage of you and knowing what the situation is. So we went through this situation. We talked about it. And I had to seek the Lord and talk to, you know, the bishop. He talked to me about it and talked to her to let us understand things on how things was. And he brought some things to my attention that I had to look at compared to, you know, a mother's love for a child. And certain things that I come to think about that, you know. And she come to a point that she started to feel bad and told me, said that she didn't feel that I loved her. And I told her, I said, you know, I said, no matter what happens between us, if it feels like, you know, it's not where it's supposed to be, I said, the love that I have for you would never end. I said, because I love you from deep down inside, and I continue to love you. I said, it's not nothing never mean to hurt you. It's just a situation at hand, the way things are, is not right. And we know, according to God's word, the right and wrong in things. But when you both are not coming together to talk about it and making it right, there's a problem. You know, you got one side saying one thing, the other side saying, but you have to sit down.
You have to talk
to it. You know, you have to talk about it. That's the main thing. And then as we talk about the other things that's happening around and about in this world, you know, it's a shame that we as men, we often forget sometimes that, like you said, we go through and we say, well, you know, the woman, she do this and I do this and everything, and we let it go. And like you said, we don't want to hear all this bickering and everything else going on back and forth when we didn't do what we have to do and things, and something has to be done. But we have to learn to sit and listen sometimes.
That's absolutely right.
I come to the point, I said, you know, some things is better unsaid, you know, because, you know, at certain times, important time, if you say it, you know what's going to happen. It's going to cause a bunch of confusion, and everything gets all out of hand. So, you know, I had to just come to my little computer room, pray, get in the word, and just, and it seemed like every time that I would, God was letting me see things. The Spirit was leading me to know that this is what I had to do. And I had to look at myself and my situations and everything. And it helped me a lot to be able to get by the getting upset as bad about things, because I seen where the mother was holding on, and she had to work on both ends of the deal with me and with the son, you know. And she's loving us both. She's not wanting to let go of neither one, but she's wanting to let something go that she knows not right in order to keep things, you know, good. And I'm trying to figure all of this out, thinking about it. And I just had to go ahead and say, well, Lord, you know best. Help me not to get to the point in my life that I lose the faith. Because I told the Lord, I'm putting it in your hands, Lord. I'm praying about this. Because you told me in your word that you would take care of us and continue to see us through situations in our life if we continue to be obedient and just have faith and trust in his word. And, you know, it's been working out a whole lot better. But a person has to really want it and seek it. You have to really want it and seek it and get out of the way and let God work in the situation. When you have done things in the way that you felt, you got in the way of God's work, that God's working it out, and you're slowing the process down because you're in the way of it. So I had to back off. I had to get out of the way a little bit, and I had to trust God. As hard as it was just to trust, I had to go through it. And, you know, it's a hard situation when you come to points in your life like that. And God saying, just trust me. My timing is not your timing. Trust me. And I'm just talking and riding down the road in my car when I have to get away to myself and talking to God and letting them know, well, God, I trust you, Lord. And people looking at me on the road like I'm crazy, sitting at the red light talking to myself. Not understanding it's not me by myself. It's me and the Lord having a conversation, you know, because I talk out loud about, you know, certain things to the Lord. And, you know, you have to in order to feel God's presence sometimes and for him to lead you to a point in your life on what you need to do. And that's what it's all about when you're a Christian. you have to listen. You have to be led by the Spirit of God in order to survive these situations in life. Because if you're not led by the Spirit and you're obedient to it, you can get in the way of things, and things can get worse and worse, and you're waiting for it to happen, but God's sitting back, letting you just go ahead and make a fool out of yourself, and until you come to the understanding that it's in His hands. Get out of the way. Let God work the situation out. Continue to pray and have faith. So I understand some of the things as far as family that you've been talking about, because it's been one of them situations here for the last couple of months or so, off and on, and I had to learn how to deal with it, because, you know, as me, and like I told her, as a man, hey, this is not my thing. I don't believe in this. I've never believed in nothing like this. You know, I have to stand up for my belief. So it's a struggle sometimes, and we go through things in life that we sometimes have to come to the knowledge of the Word of God to understand things. And like we talk about and we say, every situation that you're going through, or every problem, there's something in God's Word somewhere, if you're willing to search and seek God,
that
to find
right,
something
right.
that'll give you something to go on, and you just have to study it, search it, and get an understanding of it to help you out. And I know this for a fact because I've experienced it too many times. But it works, and it's worth it.
Yeah, and
so that's the biggest problem nowadays is relationships.
Yeah, and we don't want anybody to go away from here this evening thinking that we haven't walked the walk and talked the talk. We're not sitting up in here talking about something we heard. We're talking about what we have gone through and how we got through it and who was there with us as we were going through it. And it was God. And until we recognized Him, we did not see any way out other than to, well, how am I put it, we will wind up doing the work of the devil because we would have destroyed something that should not have been destroyed. And once we accepted the word and applied that word to our lives and to the situation or circumstances, then that's whenever the doors begin to open. We begin to work things out. We saw how that could be worked out. And
that's right.
When we first got married in 66, and nobody tells you that you have an adjustment that you got to go through, because before you got married, she was there and you were here. And now
that's right.
you are here and she's here. And y'all got to work through some of that stuff that
y'all
were doing over here or thinking over here and what you did to survive over here. Now, you can't do that over here.
No.
You have to work it out how you together can work things out and go through it.
That's right.
And that was what I had to learn. We had to learn, and we sort of set down some guidelines that we operate around. The one that we still hold to. If we have a problem, and you leave or I leave, don't come back. Ain't no coming back. Because what did that do? That force us to think about what it is that's going on.
That's right.
As opposed to go running someplace else. And when you run someplace else, you are under the influence of them people that's wherever you wind up, whether it's your family member
or
your friends. And they don't understand what's going on in your household where you just left from.
Right.
They sitting there telling you, well, but no, they can't. They don't know. So that was one of the things that we said, because I saw how people would do that, and then here they come back, and then they start all over again. No.
Mm-hmm. When you go through problems like that in a relationship, you can't go out to the worldly providers to give you information on anything.
That's right.
Go to a spiritual, truly spiritual provider that can give you guidance in the right way, someone that you truly trust and believe that God is working in their life the way that it should be, that can give you the information that you need to help you through and to pray you through.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's been a lot of times that situations when you go out to someone, and that's something I don't do, is go talk to someone or friend or something and tell them all of this and that. And, you know, cause all they do is put you deeper in a situation than you was in before you got to talk. So it's best to find you somebody spiritual that you trust and you believe in to talk to, like us sitting here, that can give information according to God's word and God's will to be able to help you and see you through. You know, because I can talk to you about something and you guide me through something, give me scriptures to look through, for me to read and get understanding and research and things like that, that'll help me through. But if I go to somebody out into the world, they turn me farther from the Spirit of God, get me into the world of evil to try to do something back on what's already happened. Well, you should do this, you should do that. No. I don't need that to tell me things negative. I'm looking for something positive to make things better. And if we make it worse than it is, we're no better than the one out there in the streets and out into the world.
That's right.
So we have to realize in any situation that we go through, family-wise or relationship-wise or whatever we're dealing with, it has to be on a spiritual realm of people that you really trust, you come together with, and everything, and talk these things over, and you know, it's the best way, because when it comes to God's word, there's no better way to be able to go through situations in your life, no matter how bad they seem. Once you get into the word of God and you start reading, I don't care where you're reading at, it seems like there's something at that point in time that comes about while you're reading that comes out to deal with something that you're going your life. And you're not expecting
that. That's right.
But that's just the way God's word works, you know.
Mm-hmm. And also, sometimes the best place to go is not your family.
No.
It's not your family.
That's the worst place.
Because 9 times out of 10, they start taking sides.
Yeah.
And they
if somebody's not treating you right, then they get upset with them.
Right. So, you know, if you find someone, if you're in a church and it's a Bible-believing church, then you have somebody in there that you can go to and sit with them, and they can give you the proper guidance that you need in order.
So true.
They're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you what to do. Because what happens is a lot of people come to the pastor wanting them to tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. And my whole thing was that I can't tell you what to do. We can sit down and I can help you to process what it is you're going through so you can see what it is that you need to do or what it is that you are doing that you shouldn't be doing and how the word then can take you and take you through it. And that's right. Has been the way that I have looked at things, chaplain. Whenever I counsel police officers, I don't go into that position with preconceived notions. Because if I go in there with a preconceived notion, then it's more about me than about the problem that that officer is having or the problem that that officer caused. So the objective is to sit with that officer long enough to have this discussion and have them look inward and come to a decision within themselves that this was the way to solve that problem. I had no other choice but to do it the way it was done. And, you know, that was the way that I did my marriage counseling was the same. And if I thought that it would be conflict, I would get a female counselor for the wife and I would counsel the husband. And then the four of us would come together and deal with the issues that they were struggling with. And I found that worked as well, as opposed to that way you don't have them thinking one thing. He favored the preacher, favored him. And you always let her get away with it. No,
that's the way it goes.
That but when you know your people, then you make sure that they don't get you in that trap.
That's right.
You get a female, and y'all have your counseling separate. You start out together, and then you know what issues that need to be dealt with, and there may be some issues that she doesn't want to talk about in the beginning.
True.
Or something that he doesn't want to talk about in the beginning. But when you go off and sit down separately and have that discussion, and then they realize that, hey, I need to talk about this with her. I can't solve it without us coming together and sitting down and working through this. So
that's right.
Yeah. This time that we're in, It's like, I'm just trying to think who mentioned that to me. It was mentioned to me that what's going on now, especially in the dominant society, is that they're into idolatry and that their God is different from the God of the other people. And their God thinks that what they're doing is okay, and it's all right for them to do it. Whereas the true God is holding people accountable for their action, and those persons who are not into idolatry, they're the ones that are following the teaching of the true God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and you can sit down sometime and think about things that way. And that helps clarify some of the questions that you may have. Why they do this? Why they doing that? Or why not forgiveness? We have to forgive. I have to forgive. Why? How can one say he didn't have nothing to be forgiven for? Mm-hmm. You know, it's all of these things because we have to wrestle with them, we have to deal with them because our young people, the children are going to do what they see.
Yep.
They're doing what they see and what they hear. So
that's true.
We have to make sure that we're in a position that we can explain to them what they see doesn't line up with God's word and it's not from God. Uh-huh. Therefore, you don't go out emulating that person. So it's these times that we're in now is very, very, on one hand, they're trying times, but
yeah.
When on the other hand, there's joy, even in the midst of all of this foolishness that's going on. And people can find that quiet place. Find a quiet place where you can go and see, and you just sit. Like you said, you would get in your car and drive. I used to do the same thing. Get in the car and go to the mountain.
That
was my quiet time.
That's right.
So we have to be clear about it. And sometimes we have to insist that our spouse find a quiet space as well. But
that's true.
It works both ways.
It does.
Yeah,
but yeah, we all go through certain types of situations that, you know,
right.
Is to whereas we have to learn to compromise and come together on the situation and try to just, you know, come to an understanding. And in the same way, the best thing to do that I've found to do from the beginning, pray about it and in God's hands. And once you talk it over and you come together and the Lord lets you know, you just go ahead and you don't have to worry about things then, because once he's got things under control, you can trust and believe that everything will be better as long as you continue to trust him to take control and do what needs to be done. And we just have to get out of the way sometimes and trust him at everything that he has given us to do instead of continuing to pick it up. You know, when we pick it up and we take it back, then we done messed up. And God, he sits back and let us go ahead and make that mistake. And we have to realize we're making a mistake of getting in the way of God saying what he's going to do for us, thinking that we can work it out and change it. But we can't.
No.
We have to have enough faith, trust,
limits.
And belief that he's going to do just what he said. And you know that I had to learn that, had to go through that situation at hand, and trust the Lord and just say, "Well, Lord, you know best." Because I know that if I mess around and I keep going the way I'm going, I ain't gonna do nothing, a big mess of it,
and it's just gonna be
worse, you know, worse than it was, and I'll be having to try to come back to God, knowing I'm going to have to come back to him and ask him to help me to get it straightened out. So
yeah, and one thing that I hope they hear receive is it's okay if you make a mistake. It's okay if you mess up. Because you're not perfect.
That's right.
But you can always confess. You can always repent.
Yes.
God is there waiting on you to do just that. So he can do for you what he knows needs to be done. So
yes,
as we go through this, you know, just remember, read the word for yourself. After you read the word for yourself, sit with the word long enough so that the Holy Spirit can rightfully divide the word so that you understand what it is that you just read.
Amen.
And understand how you apply it to your daily life.
Yes.
Just walk around knowing the word and quoting the scripture here and there, and you can't apply it to your situation, you might as well not have it. Because if you can't apply it, that's what God wants you to do in it. He wants you to apply it to your situation. Now, you know, that whole thing several years ago, if I walked around with that bracelet on, what would Jesus do? I mean, that was so awesome. If we just remember, how would Jesus handle this? What would Jesus say to that person?
Yes.
And if we did that, we would be at peace. At peace, the peace that passes all understanding. So our time is drawing now. So would you like to pray us out tonight?
Yes. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, it's once again we come before you thanking you, Lord, once again for this gathering and this ministry program that we had tonight. Thanking you for the many, blessed Lord, the encouraging words, Lord, not just say of what we heard, but Lord, going through situations in life that others may know that we're going to go through situations in life, Lord, but we have to continue to seek you for help, Lord. Spirit to lead and guide us through these situations, dear God, and continue to just bless each and every one that we come in contact with the encouraging word, dear God. We ask, Lord, as we go through this night, that you continue to bless each and every one of us in our bodies, Lord, if we're having pains, whatever we're going through right now, Lord, just a touch from you, Lord, to give us rest and comfort through the night.
Yes.
We're hoping, dear God, that somebody listening have got something that they can take to heart, dear God, and pick up on, Lord, and just be able to turn their life around for the better. And understand that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. Just to want to repent and admit their sin and ask the Lord into their life, dear God. Because, Lord, we're just trying to just share the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, letting everyone know that life is real, Lord. Problems is real through situations, dear God, in our lives. Sometimes, Lord, we don't have no control over certain things, Lord. That's why we have you, dear God, to help us, Lord, to just lead us and let the Spirit guide us into what we need to do. And as we part from this program, this ministry program tonight, Lord, we ask that you just bless the bishop and his companion as they go through situations, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord, where they need to be strengthened, dear God. And we ask, Lord, that you cover them with your, dear God. Continue to bless all of our families and loved ones.
Yes, Lord.
We'll continue, Lord, to share the word of God and help us to have the understanding that we need to stand by, Lord, in your word. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Glory. Praise the Lord. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord. Well, I sure did enjoy it and appreciate everything was encouraging and true. And we'll just keep on keeping on doing God's work and God's will and trusting him in everything we do. And with that, shalom. Hoping you have a blessed rest of the night, sir.
And same to you. Shalom.
Yes, sir. God bless.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.